This is Jay Sekulow. The Department of Justice now investigating James Comey's leak of information that may well have been deemed classified.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey everybody, welcome to the broadcast. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. So James Comey may well have released classified information, classified memorandums. Remember, he did this in order to get a special counsel appointed, which lo and behold, there was. So here's what we've got, and we're taking your calls on this. Sometime between May 9th, 2017, the date that James Comey was fired by the president, and June 8th, the date that James Comey testified before Congress, he had leaked a series of memos relating to the president, conversations he had with the president, and he did this, as he said, in order to secure the appointment of a special counsel, which in fact actually happened. The memos were leaked to a friend of his who was a professor at Columbia University School of Law, and according to the Justice Department's Office of Inspector General, at least two of the memos Comey leaked to Richmond contained, quote, information that officials now consider classified. In one of the memos, James Comey actually redacted elements that he knew to be classified to protect secrets before he leaked the documents to his friend. In another, Comey concluded that it contained no classified information, but after Comey left, the FBI upgraded that actual document to confidential, which is a classified ranking, although the lowest classified ranking. Then you have a situation where the Wall Street Journal equates Comey's handling of the memos to his handling of the Clinton email investigation. Clinton's defense was that none of her emails on her private servers were actually classified at the time she circulated them and only upgraded later. However, a small number were actually classified at the time they were sent. Same thing with the Comey memos. So the Comey memos are now front and center in this whole issue. And then you've got the Andrew McCabe issue, Stuart Roth, senior counsel for the ACLJ with the Center Studios here in Washington, D.C. Now all this is swirling in light of James Comey's whatever the book tour and the interviews that he's giving.
Well, you know, the outcome of this, Jay, is that, you know, this we want to have confidence in our governmental institutions. We want to have confidence in the FBI. There's such an important investigative body in this country, an historic investigative body in this country. But now all Americans, I would think all Americans, this has nothing to do with politics, probably are wondering what is going on at the FBI. Yeah. How did these guys go off the reservation?
All right, so let me ask this question to our audience, and I'd sure like to get these comments also, Logan, on social media. And that is, you've watched the James Comey interviews. Maybe you've read the book. I have. Maybe you have seen some of the interviews. I want to get your thoughts on this. How is it coming across to you, our listening audience? We'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. And also, Logan will be taking comments via Facebook and Periscope as well.
That's right. Phone lines are open, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. You can also find us broadcasting online, facebook.com/JaySekulow, Periscope and Twitter at JaySekulow. But again, phone lines are open, 1-800-684-3110.
So there's another interesting aspect of this. Senator Grassley was asked these questions when James Comey testified about the classified nature of it. And again, what Logan, when he just gave you the number, I want to know, those of you who've seen the interviews of Jim Comey, or read the book, or read review, what are your thoughts? I want to hear what our wide audience, our large listening audience, has to say about this at 1-800-684-3110. But here's Jake Tapper's question to Jim Comey on the leaking of these memos and whether they were classified or not.
Senator Grassley, the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, says that there are seven memos. He says four of them are classified. Is that right?
I don't know, because I don't have the memos. I don't know exactly how many there are. Some may be memos, some may be emails. There's somewhere between 5 and 10. It may be 7, it may be 8. I don't remember. And I think some of them, I know when I created some of them, they were classified, but I don't know how many of that group.
Yeah, well, the question then, of course, is, were those the documents that were actually released? We only got about 20 seconds here, Stuart.
Not a credible guy, Jay.
Yeah.
Not a credible guy. I mean, his conduct going through the Clinton investigation, up and through recent times, this guy is not credible.
I will tell you this, just looking at him. You look at what he's saying, the way he's saying it, and the interaction that he's now having with former colleagues of his. This is not witness A, that's for sure. This is not the witness I'd be putting up. All right, we'll take your calls and comments when we come back.
There's been a very troubling development in the trial of Pastor Andrew Brunson in Turkey. As you know, Pastor Brunson's on trial facing charges of Christianization, on trial for simply living out his Christian faith. After hearing testimony, including accusations from unidentified and secret witnesses designed to discredit Pastor Brunson, the judge in the case said the trial would continue on May 7th and ordered Pastor Brunson to be taken back to prison. Instead of being returned to the prison where he had been held most recently, though, the judge ordered Pastor Brunson to be taken back to an extremely overcrowded prison where he was held initially. As you can imagine, the news is devastating to Pastor Brunson and his family. At the ACLJ, we're stepping up our aggressive campaign to secure the freedom of Pastor Brunson. Between now and the next court date of May 7th, we have a critical opportunity to turn up the pressure on the Turkish government. Add your name to our petition right now, ACLJ.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
We just got some good news here in Washington, D.C., and that is Senator Manchin from West Virginia. After meeting with Mike Pompeo and discussing his foreign policies, his perspectives, and considering his distinguished services, the words of Senator Manchin, his distinguished time as CIA director and his exemplary career in public service, I will vote to confirm Mike Pompeo to be our next Secretary of State. That's the second Democrat that has said they will be voting in favor of Mike Pompeo. That's some very good news. Looks like his confirmation is going to happen. We appreciate everybody's support for that. Mike Pompeo has been very helpful to us in our case involving Pastor Brunson in Turkey, and now as Secretary of State, he'll even be able to do more to assist in that very, very important case. So we've been talking about the memo situation, where you've got the memo that James Comey leaked to his friend, then leaked it to the press in order to get a special counsel. Now there's questions about whether those documents were classified or not. James Comey, you heard his answer to Jake Tapper. But there's this distinction being, or this analogy being drawn, that some of these memos may have come in, and it's like in the Clinton matter, maybe they were not classified at the time they came in. The critical difference, though, between the Clinton case and the Comey case would be issues if you look at the intent here, the intent to leak. Comey created the memos to create a record of interactions with the president. He said this under oath, in order to prompt the appointment of a special counsel, which is exactly what happened. So that was his intent, Stuart, from the beginning of this.
Well, his ambiguous answers. Now, this is who he is. He's a man. He's a lawyer. He's worked in the government for decades at very high positions. And some may or some may have not. He's not sure. He's wishy-washy about something so critical of such great national importance. That's why this fella is not credible, really, to anybody in the United States.
Let me go to our director of policy, Professor Harry Hutchison. And Professor Hutchison, let me ask you this question. As you've reviewed the James Comey interview, the book, the statements that have come out, we've got counter statements from Andrew McCabe. We'll talk about that in a moment. I'm going to play the Andrew McCabe bite in a little bit later in the broadcast. And his Andrew McCabe's lawyers have now come forward. What's your assessment of where this is?
Well, my assessment is that Mr. Comey has essentially indicted himself. He had the clear intent to trigger the appointment of a special counsel, and it's equally clear that there are a number of federal statutes which may apply to Mr. Comey's activity, including Section 641, 18 U.S.C. Section 641, the theft of government records. This is a felony which could subject Mr. Comey up to imprisonment for 10 years and certainly imprisonment at least of 1 year. And he has confirmed that he intended to leak these memos, which contain classified information. He wrote these memos on a government computer while sitting in a government car, and he released these memos after he was terminated. So he didn't have any authorization to release these memos, yet he went ahead and did so in order to show that he was a better human being, perhaps, than the president of the United States.
All right, let's do this. Let's go ahead. I want to get the James Comey, or the response from Andrew McCabe's lawyers to James Comey, but I need to I'll get those put in the chat for me here. Let's go ahead, Logan, and take some calls. We're taking your calls to the reactions of the James Comey book tour, the interviews, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110.
All right, let's go to Joanne in Virginia on line one. You're on the air.
Hi, Joanne.
I don't think Joanne's there. Yep. Joanne, go ahead.
Yes, my question is that as part of the security of our country, hasn't Comey broken laws in order to write his book, to leak the information? I have family members that have worked in security for the government for years, and they had to sign documents that they would never disclose anything. And I'm just concerned that he's done this and nobody's going to say anything, and that's going to be that.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. People are saying things. I mean, you remember Andrew McCabe, who was the deputy FBI director, was the subject of a very critical Office of Inspector General report that has now been referred to the U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia for possible prosecution, and that's ongoing right now. So that's one thing. Number two, and this is, I think, equally important, let me play for you the soundbite. This is the conversation between, again, Jake Tapper and James Comey regarding Andrew McCabe.
All right, I'm not sure if we have that.
The Justice Department Inspector General sending a criminal referral to the U.S. Attorney in D.C. regarding your former deputy, Andrew McCabe. They did this after releasing a report concluding McCabe repeatedly lied to investigators and to you. If they ultimately bring a case against Andrew McCabe, would you be a witness for the prosecution?
Potentially. I don't know whether the reporting is accurate. I know it's CNN reporting, but I don't know it of my own accord. But sure, given that the IG's report reflects interactions that Andy McCabe had with me and other FBI senior executives, I could well be a witness.
Well, here's what you've got. In his case, and this is what Fox News said. So you heard what he said. He said he may well be a witness. In a Fox News report, former FBI Director James Comey has relied on the accuracy and the soundness of the Office of Inspector General's conclusion in their report on Mr. McCabe. In fact, the report fails to adequately address the evidence, including sworn testimony and documents that prove that Mr. McCabe advised Director Comey repeatedly that he was working with the Wall Street Journal on the stories in question prior to publication. Neither Mr. Comey nor the OIG is infallible, and in this case, neither of them has it right. Now, what's also interesting on this is that in the notes that James Comey had, the notes that were released to Congress from James Comey about his conversation with the president, he makes this point of saying, I'm not a weasel, I'm not a leaker, and yet he did that. And I don't know if we have the Senate testimony when he was asked if he ever made a leak or was aware of it. Will, you can let me know if we do. But in another statement, and this is, again, this is a statement from Andrew McCabe's lawyer. This is in regard to James Comey. Now, this is the head of the FBI and the deputy director of the Federal Bureau of Investigation through their lawyers. Andy is upset and disappointed in some of the things Comey has said. Andy McCabe and Jim Comey had an excellent relationship. They worked closely with one another. They relied on each other. Andy McCabe looked up to Jim Comey. So we are not for a moment suggesting that Jim Comey is making things up or lying. Nobody's memory is perfect. People are fallible. And we think on this one, Andy McCabe has a strong and clear recollection, and Jim Comey does not. Which means, Harry, they're saying that Jim Comey made a misstatement about that.
I think they are, but they are perhaps underplaying it. It's possible that Comey did more than make a misstatement of material fact. It's possible that he lied, and it's possible that he lied under oath. And so if Mr. Comey is prepared to be a witness against Mr. McCabe in a future case, it's very possible that Mr. Comey would be impeached by his own testimony.
You know, I think Mr. Comey is going to be in the news for a very long time, and I think I think his life is going to spiral downhill as a result of all of these actions and his conduct. You know, the Inspector General is going to be doing a report on Mr. Comey soon.
Right.
And I think that is going to be earth-shattering for James Comey, because a lot of these actions, as Harry has pointed out, as we've pointed out on the program, have put him in potential legal jeopardy, Jay.
Yeah. So, Logan, what are we seeing? What are you seeing on social media? We'll take more calls at 800-684-3110.
You know, a lot of people are just doing the same old, it seems like, with these comments so far the last few months. A lot of people are just saying it feels like no one gets held accountable. That's from Kurt. It's very clear nobody's going to be held accountable, so why are we even talking about this?
Andy McCabe has been referred to the United States Attorney's Office for the District of Columbia for potential criminal prosecution.
Yeah, I'm actually going to say that to our social team. Let's just not take any more comments to say nothing is being done. I mean, stuff is happening.
I mean, well, not only something is happening. Andy McCabe was the subject of a critical Office of Inspector General report that accused him of basically false statements, lack of candor, four times. That report has been referred over to the United States Attorney's Office for the District of Columbia for investigation and review. So to say that nothing's being done, I think, again, I know people like to say nothing's being done, but evidently something's really being done here. So we're going to talk more about that when we come back from the break. We're going to take more of your calls and comments and more of your questions at 1-800-684-3110. Harry, let me go back to you on this for a quick comment. And that is, where do you think this puts James Comey? I'm not talking about legal jeopardy here right now. As far as credibility as a witness goes, we've got those memos he released about his conversations with the president, which are still mind-boggling to me that he would release memos that he had with the president of the United States. He did them in a government vehicle, as you said, at his government computer, and then released them to a friend of his. If an FBI agent did that, they would have been fired, of course, and prosecuted for moving government property. Where is your sense of where this puts James Comey from a credibility standpoint?
Well, I think he has no credibility. We could simply go back to the Clinton email investigation. Again, he has shattered any credibility that he had, and he has himself to blame for that.
All right, we're going to take more calls when we come back from the break. Logan will let you know how you could do that, and I'll ask you to do something for us in just a moment.
That's right. Phone lines are open. We have a couple lines open, 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. You can always put your comments in online as well. 1-800-684-3110.
All right. Also, don't forget this. We're in a matching challenge campaign. We're down to the last 7 days of the matching challenge campaign at ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate to the ACLJ, we get a matching gift for. That's ACLJ.org, ACLJ.org. As Logan said, stay engaged on our social media so you know what's going on. And again, if you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Back with more in just a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulo reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. There's been a very troubling development in the trial of Pastor Andrew Brunson in Turkey. As you know, Pastor Brunson's on trial facing charges of Christianization, on trial for simply living out his Christian faith. After hearing testimony, including accusations from unidentified and secret witnesses designed to discredit Pastor Brunson, the judge in the case said the trial would continue on May 7th and ordered Pastor Brunson to be taken back to prison. Instead of being returned to the prison where he had been held most recently, though, the judge ordered Pastor Brunson to be taken back to an extremely overcrowded prison where he was held initially. As you can imagine, the news is devastating to Pastor Brunson and his family. At the ACLJ, we're stepping up our aggressive campaign to secure the freedom of Pastor Brunson. Between now and the next court date of May 7th, we have a critical opportunity to turn up the pressure on the Turkish government. Add your name to our petition right now, ACLJ.org.
So Andy McCabe's lawyers come out being very critical of James Comey. Loretta Lynch, the former attorney general who James Comey served under, has also come out critical of the situation with James Comey. She said throughout the process, and talking about this whole situation, throughout the process, I did what I always do, rise above politics and uphold the law. At no time did I ever discuss any aspects of the investigation with anyone from the Clinton campaign or the DNC. Now, that's interesting because here's what James Comey actually said during his hearing. This is number 19.
At one point, the Attorney General had directed me not to call it an investigation, but instead to call it a matter, which confused me and concerned me.
Although he did end up calling it a matter, by the way. So it may have confused him and concerned him. But see, what he did was he took over the whole role of the Attorney General. So let's say Loretta Lynch should have recused herself because she had the meeting with President Clinton on the tarmac. You had deputy attorney generals. You had associate attorney generals. The FBI director never had authority to do this. That's why I don't think, Stuart, that if you look at the credibility of the evidence he's submitting, it's clearly agenda-driven here. No question this is agenda-driven.
Well, absolutely. When you look at that comment and you look at the whole scenario with Loretta Lynch, that whole scenario with Clinton, that was misconduct on so many different levels, Jay. And now we're hearing about it. It's all rolling out. We had all thought that ABC happened, and now we see that ABC happened, both on Loretta Lynch's part and both on James Comey's part, that Clinton investigation into the email server was totally botched, and thereby undermining the confidence the American people have on all sides of the aisles, by the way.
Yeah, so by the way, yeah, he was the Democrats and the Republicans were concerned about James Comey activities. As I was critical of him each time he did it. I was critical when he announced the no investigation because I don't think he should have said anything. If there was no investigation, he should have said there was no investigation.
It was outrageous.
Then when he came in and reopened the investigation, I didn't think that was fair. And then he reclosed it again for it. I think all of this, but once he started, the problem was he couldn't fix it. Now, James Comey was asked this actual question on an MSNBC broadcast regarding Loretta Lynch. So it's not just Andy McCabe. Now it's Loretta Lynch, former attorney general. Here's what he said.
I'm very concerned and wrote this very carefully because I don't want to be unfair to Loretta, who I like very much. She's a friend of mine. I've known her a long time and respect and don't think she acted improperly. The problem here was there was real material, not bogus material, real material that at first I thought would come out in 50 years when it was declassified.
Yeah.
And once the Russians started dumping stuff in the middle of June, I thought, oh, man, it's going to come now. And it would allow, even though I didn't believe it to be true, it would allow people to have significant doubts about whether the fix was in some way, that the Justice Department was in cahoots with the Clinton.
And when you,
so, Harry, what's your response to that one, that he was concerned that it would look like they were in cahoots with the Clinton campaign?
Well, I think to some extent,
after challenging Loretta Lynch's credibility. Yeah.
Well, on most, just as is the case with most things that Comey talks about, he has no credibility on that particular issue. He doesn't talk about the fact that Bruce Orr, Nellie Orr, the pursuit of a FISA warrant based on a dossier that was salacious and unverified, happened on his watch and happened on Loretta Lynch's watch. So it strikes me that his claim that the Justice Department and the FBI were following regular procedure and they were trying to demonstrate their commitment to integrity, that is simply another false claim in light of what we know now.
That's right.
All right, let's go ahead, Logan, and take a phone call if we can.
Okay. Let's go to Rhonda, who's calling on line five, been on hold for a while. Rhonda on line five again. You're on the air.
Hello, I would like to just comment on his interviews.
Yep.
He seems to change his story often when he gets called out on things. In one interview, he can't recall in the next interview. In one interview, he said 27 times he looks up in the air like he's contemplating. 27 times, I really can't recall. And this is...
So, well, given, I mean, go ahead and finish. I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead, Rhonda.
he had given an interview with exact answers a day or two earlier, and then 2 days later, he can't recall.
So here's what, I mean, look, I don't think this has been particularly helpful to James Comey's credibility, Stuart, at all.
Well, yes, he's come off terrible. The book is terrible. His interviews are terrible. He's inconsistent. I agree. He doesn't recall. He does recall. He doesn't remember things that you would expect. You would expect the man that ran the FBI to be so detail oriented that he would recall things so important. He would recall whether or not a memo that he drafted, whether that was something that should not be released, whether that was confidential, whether that was of the nature of something that should not be in the public sphere. He has to know this. That was his job. He was a lawyer. He held top legal positions in this nation in addition to director of the FBI. So when you get those kinds of responses where he parses out answers and you just see his demeanor as a witness, you know this man is not credible. He's making things up on the fly.
All right, Logan, do you want to grab another phone call here before the break? And we'll take more at 1-800-684-3110. Go ahead.
Yeah, let's go to Rhea in Washington, line 3. You're on the air.
Hi, Rhea.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Sure. I have a couple comments, and then I will free up the lines and hang up. First of all, okay. James Comey and his book tour are a joke and full of lies. He's incriminated himself. I see him as a sociopath with a narcissistic personality. Hopefully immediate action would be taken against him. I feel it's obvious that the deep state players feel they are untouchable. Secondly, we need to end the witch hunt against our president and begin prosecuting the criminal Obama administration players. Lastly,
well, look, I mean, let me say this. I'm going to jump right in here. We, as lawyers at the American Center for Law and Justice, we don't bring criminal cases. We don't have the authority to bring criminal cases. That has to come through the United States Department of Justice. That's the way our system's set up, and that's the way it should be set up. Where we've held agencies accountable, for instance, most recently the Internal Revenue Service, with their targeting scandal, there what did we do? We took the agency to court, and individual agents as well, in multiple cases. There was a case in Washington, D.C. that we were primarily responsible for. There was another case in Ohio that we participated in with one of our clients. And the end result was, in the Ohio case, there was about a $3.5 million damage settlement. And in our case, we got injunctive relief against the IRS. They've had to change their policy, rewrite how they're going to do their nonprofit reviews, and completely change the way it works internally. So remember, any kind of criminal proceedings, for instance, what happened with Andy McCabe, his file, the Inspector General's report, was taken over to the U.S. Attorney's Office for review. That's the way in which those matters proceed. That's not the job of the ACLJ. We don't do that at the American Center for Law and Justice. That's the job of the United States Department of Justice. All right. We're going to be here for another 30 minutes of the broadcast. Logan's going to let you know if you don't get the full hour, which you should. Logan's going to let you know how you get it.
That's right. You can do that by joining us online. That's at facebook.com/JSeculo. Twitter, Periscope, at Jay Sekulow. You can obviously give us a call as well, 1-800-684-3110. Or you can watch on ACLJ.org each and every day. Live archived as well on ACLJ.org, the Jay Sekulow Live podcast, the ACLJ app, fill in the app store, or however you get your media, you probably can find us there. But again, another half hour coming up. The phone lines are open, 1-800-684-3110. If you don't get us on your local stations, join us online. We'll be right back.
There's been a very troubling development in the trial of Pastor Andrew Brunson in Turkey. Instead of being returned to the prison where he had been held most recently, though, the judge ordered Pastor Brunson to be taken back to an extremely overcrowded prison where he was held initially. At the ACLJ, we're stepping up our aggressive campaign to secure the freedom of Pastor Brunson. We have a critical opportunity to turn up the pressure on the Turkish government. Add your name to our petition right now, ACLJ.org.
broadcast, everyone. So we got a couple of issues that we're dealing with, and that is you've got the James Comey tour going on right now around the country on his book tour. I've read the book. You've got Andrew McCabe, who's been referred over to the Department of Justice, or I should say the Attorney General's, the Office of Inspector General report's been sent over to the U.S. Attorney's Office for the District of Columbia for possible criminal violations. You got Andrew McCabe's lawyer saying that James Comey didn't get his facts right when he criticized Andrew McCabe. And you've got Loretta Lynch saying, I didn't say the stuff that James Comey said either. So you've got this kind of cacophony of issues going on at the same times. Now, with me in our studios here in Washington, D.C. is our senior counsel for the ACLJ and former U.S. attorney. That is Dr. Andrew Economo. And Andy, we've kind of looked at the whole, we've talked about the credibility of James Comey as a witness, which I think has suffered significantly since the publication of his book. I think there were serious issues before, obviously, the leaking of the documents, but you can go on and on. But the fact of the matter is, as it stands right now, and I think this is the reality, you got Andrew McCabe criticizing, through his lawyer, James Comey. You got Loretta Lynch criticizing James Comey. So I bring the question up, is James Comey a credible witness?
No, James Comey is not a credible witness. He's not a credible person. There's nothing about him that is credible. He has made so many conflicting statements. And not only that, but he's got ethical issues too, Jay. I mean, he made a decision not to prosecute Hillary Clinton, never interviewing any of the witnesses they had immunized, and basically usurped the position of the attorney general, who is the one who's supposed to make decisions about criminal prosecution. And if she was disqualified, then go down to the deputy attorney general, Sally Yates. Everything that he has said has been contradictory, has been self-serving, has been either unethical or just plain false.
Yep. So and Logan, I know we're getting a lot of questions about it, and we're getting comments as well. So we'll take those. We'll take a call or a comment, whatever you'd like to do here.
All right, let's go ahead and take a call because we've had Michael, who's been on hold for a long time. Michael, welcome to the show.
Hi, Michael. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, Jay. Appreciate what you do. First time caller.
Thanks.
Just a quick question, and that happens to be as an American citizen. I'm like, if things like this were to happen to me, there would be no question of doubt. So here's my quick question, and that is simply that everybody's saying, well, he may have violated this particular code. I'm like, oh my gosh, is it really that vague? May have violated? I know things are moving on. I'm glad for that finally. But may have? Don't we really know that he has? That's my question.
Well, look, I mean, as far as what James Comey did, the Office of Inspector General is giving a report. But you understand what a referral is. So on the Andrew McCabe situation, understand what a referral is. I'm going to go back to Andy on this. When I was at Treasury, at Office of Chief Counsel of IRS, my office was probably about a mile and a half from where Andy's was at the Russell Building. So I was in the federal building. Andy was in the Russell Building. What we did, my office did, was our agents would investigate a case, a criminal tax case, and we would draft up, based on the evidence the agents gave my office, we would make an initial determination as to whether there is the validity of a criminal referral. In other words, is there enough evidence to bring this case forward to at least the U.S. Attorney's Office to see if they should prosecute it? It was called a criminal reference letter. Now, the OIG report, Office of Inspector General report, has been sent over to the U.S. Attorney's Office. So that is very much the similar kind of process, different agency, but similar process.
That's correct. The Treasury Department, for instance, in the example you gave, does not prosecute. The United States Department of Justice does prosecute. The U.S. Attorney is an arm of the Justice Department. So we would receive, as in this case, a criminal referral, this case from the Inspector General on McCabe, and we would make an independent determination whether or not a crime has been committed, and if so, to take it to the grand jury. Seek an indictment and prosecute him before a jury of 12 persons.
All right, so that gives you a good analysis. All right, Logan, let's take some more phone calls. We come back from the break, and also we'll take comments as well.
That's right. Phone lines are open, 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Got a couple lines open right now, so if you call right now, it's a good chance you'll make it through. Stay on topic. Hopefully you have good sound quality, and you'll make it on the air, 1-800-684-3110. If you're watching online, we have exclusive videos made each and every day by our video team just for those who watch online. This show never goes to break. When you watch online, we either continue the conversation or you get videos that are made just for you. So that's coming up in the break on ACLJ.org, Facebook.com/JSeculo, Twitter and Periscope at JSeculo. Take a look. We'll be right back.
There's been a very troubling development in the trial of Pastor Andrew Brunson in Turkey. As you know, Pastor Brunson's on trial facing charges of Christianization, on trial for simply living out his Christian faith. After hearing testimony, including accusations from unidentified and secret witnesses designed to discredit Pastor Brunson, the judge in the case said the trial would continue on May 7th and ordered Pastor Brunson to be taken back to prison. Instead of being returned to the prison where he had been held most recently, though, the judge ordered Pastor Brunson to be taken back to an extremely overcrowded prison where he was held initially. As you can imagine, the news is devastating to Pastor Brunson and his family. At the ACLJ, we're stepping up our aggressive campaign to secure the freedom of Pastor Brunson. Between now and the next court date of May 7th, we have a critical opportunity to turn up the pressure on the Turkish government. Add your name to our petition right now, ACLJ.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Taking your calls on your reaction to the James Comey book interview and now the situation with Andrew McCabe. Harry, looking at the Andrew McCabe, let me set this up a little bit. So James Comey made this statement on The View. Take a listen to this.
Good people lie. I lay out in the book, I think I'm a good person where I've lied. I still believe Andrew McCabe is a good person, but the inspector general found that he lied, and there's severe consequences in the Justice Department for lying, as there should be throughout the government.
Well, Michael Brownwich, the attorney for Andrew McCabe, in response to James Comey, said Andy is upset and disappointed in some of the things Comey has said. Andy McCabe and Jim Comey had an excellent relationship. Remember, they were the director of the FBI and the deputy director. They worked closely with one another. They relied on each other. Andy McCabe looked up to Jim Comey, so we are not for a moment suggesting that Jim Comey is making things up or lying. But listen to this. Nobody's memory is perfect. People are fallible. And we think on this one that Andy McCabe has a strong and clear recollection, and Jim Comey does not. And this was regarding the leak of information. Now let me play for you what Senator Grassley asked James Comey during a hearing about leaking information.
Director Comey, have you ever been an anonymous source in news reports about matters relating to the Trump investigation or the Clinton investigation?
Never.
Have you ever authorized someone else at the FBI to be an anonymous source in news reports about the Trump investigation or the Clinton investigation?
No.
So either Andy McCabe, Andy is lying, or James Comey is lying. They both can't be right.
No, they both can't be right, and I don't want to be the jury here and make a determination of credibility, but I can tell you this, I wouldn't believe Jim Comey under oath, no matter what. For that matter, I wouldn't believe McCabe under oath.
So here's what it is. So if McCabe is right, then James Comey lied under oath. If Comey is right, then Andy McCabe lied under oath, Harry. I mean, that's just the way it comes down.
Absolutely, and it's highly likely that both of these individuals lied under oath. It's also important to note that James Comey consistently places himself above the law. So, for instance, he wrote an exoneration memo on Hillary Clinton before he completed the investigation. He said he wasn't a leaker, but yet he leaked classified documents himself. So both of these individuals, McCabe and Comey, have implicated themselves in potential perjury violations, and I hope the Justice Department goes after both of these individuals vigorously.
All right, so Logan, let's go ahead and take some calls at 800-684-3110, or if you'd rather, we could take a comment or both. Your call?
Let's go to, first go to Jerry from Rhode Island, but know that phone lines are open for you, 1-800-684-3110. Jerry, welcome.
Hey, Jerry.
Hey, Jay, I wonder if you realize, those of us who listen to you a lot and then have a chance and possibly even seeing you on national outlets like Hannity, and we see the things you talk about, sometimes you initiate by FISA request, start to bear fruit. A lot of the people call in pessimistically, say, when are we going to see somebody charged? We haven't seen it. I was part of that pessimism group until I started following you for about a year and a half, and I started seeing, well, I remember when they were talking about putting that FISA request in, and we started seeing it bear right. fruit with you even on Hannity. So we are starting to see something, but people don't realize. Maybe you don't realize, you're the only radio outlet that people from across the country can call in and have a feeling we're going to hear truth. We're going to hear accuracy.
Well, so I mean, listen, there's a lot of good broadcasts out there. I appreciate your comments. I appreciate your compliment, Jerry, but there's a lot of good broadcasts out there, right, left, and center. I mean, people that share a particular view and or don't share. It's a free country. That's what's great about broadcasting. You're allowed to, in the United States of America, we allow freedom. Now, you're right, that, and that's why Logan, I think, announced, what did you say earlier? No more calls about it. Nothing's, what was it you exactly said?
Yeah, we get a lot of comments. I mean, just a deluge of comments continually. People complaining, saying nothing's going to get done. Nothing's going to happen. Why are we doing this? This is a waste of time. Yeah. You should be talking about the weather. And those are the comments that legit come in.
It's beautiful here in Washington.
I feel like because people just aren't listening.
But you know, because they're not, if that's what they're saying. Because the reality is that you take, I use the IRS case as an example. Or how about just last 2 weeks ago, where it was federal court right here, where we started getting the documents about what was going on with the unmasking, and we've got more information. We're building a report that's going to go to Congress on the unmasking. Or how about the fact that in one of our FOIA cases, we have more than a report. We had evidence of federal money, taxpayer dollars, being utilized by our government, given over to an organization in Israel or in the Middle East that was running campaigns against Benjamin Netanyahu with your taxpayer dollars. So once that's exposed, you then go to Congress and get it stopped. Fan is out right now today in meetings on these very issues. So understand, that's how the process works in the United States. People get all rowdy, so to speak, on this issue of can you bring a criminal case against somebody. A private group of lawyers, an organization like the American Center for Law and Justice, has no authority statutorily or constitutionally to bring a criminal case against an individual, nor should we have that authority. We bring civil cases against individuals. We've defended criminal cases, but we don't initiate them. And that's just the way it is. All right, let's go ahead and take a phone call at 800-684-3110.
Let's go to Monica in New York on line two. You're on the air.
Hey.
Hi. I have
go ahead,
a
Monica.
Question.
Sure.
Comey seems to be doing basically the top five things that an attorney would tell a client not to do, such as writing a book, giving interviews, multiple statements, TV spots. Any theories as to why, since he should be a very intelligent person, he would be willing to do all of that?
I think he tried to get ahead of a narrative. I think he tried to create a narrative, or is trying right now to create a narrative, on how all of this is going to play out publicly. So my theory is that he went out with the book, and he went out on the tour, and he's doing the speeches and the interviews to get his narrative out, though. Although, as Harry said, it's not been very consistent.
No, it's not. It's been a narrative of contradictions and complexities that you really can't follow. And you know, he's, again, as I say, he's not an ethical person. He's a very arrogant person. I think he's a very smart person. I've heard someone who knows him, who worked with him when he was in the U.S. Attorney's Office, say he's a very intelligent and smart person. But he's got himself caught up in a web of lies. And and the arrogance of it, that he's given out these memos, he says, not as an FBI director, but as a private person, or when he leaked something to his friend at one of the law schools,
yep,
in the hope that would get the result that he wanted, a special counsel. I mean, he's very devious in the things that he does, undermining the attorney general when he made the decision on the prosecution of Loretta Lynch. A devious person, not a very nice man.
Harry, what's your sense of that?
Well, first, I would say Comey has an extremely high opinion of himself as an FBI director and as a lawyer. But he has made so many conflicting statements over the last two or three years, he can no longer remember all of his contradictory statements. So he's falling, some might say, in a perjury trap that he alone has created for himself.
Well, all right, we're going to take your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Logan, do we have time to take a call before the break here? Or do you want to do a comment?
It's a comment from Robinson. If the DOJ is corrupt, who prosecutes them?
Well, look, I think this idea that you can't talk with overstatements here. There are line prosecutors that do a very effective job. There's been troubles at the top of the Department of Justice. We know that in previous administrations. There's concerns and there's been changes. But again, Andy, you were a U.S. attorney.
Yes.
The career prosecutors do a good job.
They do a very good job.
I mean, there are times when they go outside the lines and then they're held accountable.
But most of the times, and I would say 99% of the times, career prosecutors, whether they're in state court or in federal court, are doing their job based upon the facts that are given to them by the investigators, based upon the law as they know it, and they try their very best to do the things that are correct in pursuing criminal actions. And I think it's unfair and not right to paint with a broad brush and say the office of the district attorney for this circuit is corrupt, or the office of the United States attorney for this district is corrupt, or all of the Department of Justice is. That's just not true.
And I've been a government lawyer, Andy's been a government lawyer, and they're really great government lawyers, and there's some that don't do the right thing. You hold them accountable. All right, we're going to be coming up to the last segment of the broadcast. We'll be taking your calls. I wanted to go to Harry on this quickly. Harry, give me your assessment on where this, on the interplay with James Comey and Andrew McCabe. What are they? They're both trying to thread a needle here.
I think they are, but I think both will face some pushback, first from the Inspector General and the Inspector General's report, and secondarily from internal opposition from the Department of Justice. And so I think at the end of the day, both of them run the high risk of facing criminal charges. And I think that would be justifiable based on the evidence I've seen so far.
All right, Logan, we're going to get to the last segment here and take calls.
That's right. Phone lines are open, 1-800-684-3110. In the last segment, we try to take absolutely as many calls as we can. And nothing changes today. So give us a call, 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. You can get your comments in online. That's at facebook.com/jseculo, Periscope and Twitter at jseculo, as we broadcast live there for the next segment and during the breaks. But again, we do have, right now we got one line open, but some of them are screened. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulo reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. There's been a very troubling development in the trial of Pastor Andrew Brunson in Turkey. As you know, Pastor Brunson's on trial facing charges of Christianization, on trial for simply living out his Christian faith. After hearing testimony, including accusations from unidentified and secret witnesses designed to discredit Pastor Brunson, the judge in the case said the trial would continue on May 7th and ordered Pastor Brunson to be taken back to prison. Instead of being returned to the prison where he had been held most recently, though, the judge ordered Pastor Brunson to be taken back to an extremely overcrowded prison where he was held initially. As you can imagine, the news is devastating to Pastor Brunson and his family. At the ACLJ, we're stepping up our aggressive campaign to secure the freedom of Pastor Brunson. Between now and the next court date of May 7th, we have a critical opportunity to turn up the pressure on the Turkish government. Add your name to our petition right now, aclj.org.
welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Let me tell you this. James Comey was asked by James Tapper about this whole way in which he handled documents to try to get the special counsel. Was that manipulative? Here's number 28.
What do you say to people who say, boy, that seems awfully manipulative, not your role, and maybe even it seems like payback?
Yeah, I don't think of it that way. I was a private citizen who saw something I could do. I thought that was very, very important, and I did it and it obviously acknowledged it the moment I was asked about it publicly. I thought it was something that needed to be done, and a private citizen can talk about their unclassified conversations with the president.
I'm not so sure about that, by the way, because he wasn't a private citizen at the time the conversations took place. So let's think about that for a moment. In fact, the conversations would be within executive privilege, not quite possibly, or deliberate privilege, or both. So the idea that now you're a private citizen FBI agent, and you can now distribute, you can now start handing out your 302s, which are the forms you fill out when you do an interview, or start discussing your interviews, would be, they'd be prosecuted for that.
Yes, of course. He's wrong when he makes that statement. What you do at the time that you're an FBI agent, or in his case, the director of the FBI, remains privileged and perhaps in some instances classified, but it's not something that once you leave office, you go and hand out to the public, which is what he did. Who would hire James Comey as their lawyer today? I'd like to know.
Yeah. All right. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Logan, who's next?
Yeah, let's go ahead. Let's go to Joanna, who is in Utah. Online for you on the air.
Hey.
Hi, how are you?
Hey. Good.
My question was similar to one of the prior callers. It's just, I've worked peripherally in the legal field. I've worked as a contractor with the DOJ. I'm aware of the confidentiality agreements we all have to sign. James Comey seems so bad at everything he's doing. I mean, is it? I can't grasp the motivation. As a former FBI director, he's mishandling evidence. As a 6'8" man, he's, you know, thought he was hidden in a bright blue suit against the curtains. He just doesn't seem to make wise decisions. I'm mystified.
Well, I think what he's trying to do is get a narrative out there, and that's what he's in the book to do, because he knew that this Office of Inspector General report was going to be forthcoming, and it wasn't going to be good for him. We haven't seen that one yet, but based on the McCabe one, you can kind of get a sense of where it's going. And I think that is part and parcel of what has happened here, and I think you raised the issue. And again, if you were a contractor, you signed an NDA. If you would have leaked that information, you would have been in serious, serious trouble. All right, let's grab another call.
All right, continuing on, let's go to Jeff in Indianapolis. You're on the air, Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
Greetings, and thanks for all you do. Appreciate it, Jay.
Sure.
Not too long ago, maybe a year or two, I'm old, in his congressional hearings, Comey testified that Hillary lied to Congress and she lied to the FBI. I don't understand why that never drew any more attention, particularly after the 30,000 emails were also brought to light.
Well, because there was no way in which there was going to be this is just the way it is. There was no way there was going to be Harry. There was no way that they were going to take what they got. I mean, he laid out the elements of what would constitute gross negligence and mishandling classified information, and then said, and even though he said it was extreme carelessness, with definition is gross negligence, they had written the report before they did the interviews of witnesses that were granted immunity, Harry. So how do you look at that?
Well, it's a difficult situation. We should keep in mind that in addition to writing the exoneration statement before completing the investigation, the FBI allowed individuals essentially to have their computers destroyed. It took testimony from individuals while they were not under oath. So this was a predetermined outcome, notwithstanding the claims made by James Comey that he was conducting an investigation according to the highest standards of the FBI. I think at the end of the day, James Comey is quite prepared, after the fact, of course, to throw everyone under the bus in order to defend his own reputation. And so far, I would suggest that he is failing miserably.
All right.
All right. So we're I tend to think, go ahead, Logan, let's grab another call.
Let's go to Jonah in New York City. You're on the air.
Hi, Jay, and everybody. Great job of calling to ask you kind of a blue sky question.
so much has come out over the last 6 months or more from you, from others, other investigatory sources. And now I'm just going to ask you, I realize there's things you can't say, but I'm just going to ask you if you could sort of paint a picture of where you see this going. Do you, not in actual terms of sentencing or anything like that. How do you see this playing out? Do you feel we're in a good position? Do you feel this is going to – what do you see coming over the next 6 months and a year? How do you see this going?
Yeah, I think you take the evidence where it leads you. So on like the FOIA cases that we have, what we're now doing, this was a policy we've put in place, is we're doing a quarterly report on each case. So we know exactly what has happened, exactly what we were looking for, and exactly what we've obtained. Then we're going to take that report and we're going to distribute it to the oversight committees, the House Judiciary Committee, Senate Judiciary Committee, various agencies, and say, this is the information we've obtained. This is what the information means, so that we can then periodically, on a quarterly basis, start issuing our own reports on these various things we're uncovering, because we're frankly uncovering a lot of things. We're just trying to get it into a format, Andy, where people can access it, to get so you can get access to it, and that's what we're going to do. So we will file those with the various governmental agencies that would be relevant, and the House and Senate Oversights Committee, Judiciary Committees, whatever committee would be appropriate to review it.
That way those committees and that part of the Congress can see exactly what we're doing. We're not only uncovering information, but we want to educate governmental agencies with respect to what we uncover so that they can take the action. We cannot prosecute criminal cases. That's not what we do in this country. Individuals don't do that. But we can find out information and pass that information on to the sources who either have the authority civilly or administratively or in some instances criminally to proceed.
Logan, do you want to try to do a
I got a good comment. Dennis asked, if Comey's prosecuted, could his book and the account therein be used in court?
Yes. I mean, they could use what he said as an effort to impeach his credibility as a witness. I sure would do that if I was on the other side of that case. I mean, any lawyer would do that. So I don't think that's it's pretty unremarkable in that sense. I think what James Comey has tried to do is get ahead of this. Some on the left have tried to embrace him, but then the reality, I think, sets in with them. And all of a sudden, then they say, well, wait a minute, this is the guy that the left blames for costing Hillary Clinton the election. So then they remember what he did when he engaged, unengaged, and Comey's first, Comey's second, and Comey third. We did an investigation. Here's what we found. Looks like it's criminal, but it's not. Then reopening the investigation, which I thought was announcing that was horrendous in the middle of election, then closing it 4 days before, damage already done, is what Hillary Clinton's people say. So I think that's just kind of the reality of what we're dealing with now in the country. That is going to do it for our broadcast starting this Monday here in Washington, D.C. We're going to have more information ahead. Logan's letting you know you can stay engaged on a whole host of levels with us.
All right, that's right. You can find us broadcasting live each and every day on Facebook, Periscope, ACLJ.org. On ACLJ.org, you can also find daily updates and stuff we post, blogs, news, all this information, our daily radio show, television shows, feature-length documentaries, and all that content each and every day. It's also a great place where you can connect and donate and support the work of the ACLJ. That's at ACLJ.org. That's also all available on the ACLJ app, available in the App Store for iPhone, iPad, Apple TV, and also in the Roku channel store. So search for ACLJ. You can find this show each day. You can also find, like I said, our weekly television and our feature-length documentaries and some of our shorts. You can find all of that on our Roku channel, as well as our Apple TV channel. Subscribe to the Jay Sekulow Live podcast, available on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. You can find it there, and make sure you're following us on all social media. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Jay Sekulow Live.
There's been a very troubling development in the trial of Pastor Andrew Brunson in Turkey. Instead of being returned to the prison where he had been held most recently, though, the judge ordered Pastor Brunson to be taken back to an extremely overcrowded prison where he was held initially. At the ACLJ, we're stepping up our aggressive campaign to secure the freedom of Pastor Brunson. We have a critical opportunity to turn up the pressure on the Turkish government. Add your name to our petition right now, ACLJ.org.